Welcome to the Action Factory podcast. My name is Michael Dawson. I developed the Solutions Toolkit as a framework for residential youth workers. And my passion is to help residential youth work teams perform better because I believe it's the greatest job in the world. Now, if you'd like to take some time to visit the website at theactionfactory.com, you'll find loads of free and useful resources, courses, and of course, this podcast. I hope to stimulate some thought and conversation among our listeners in this wonderful work that we do. As you know, the Solutions Toolkit is a unique blend of the greatest change techniques ever developed. And since my early days in what I call the people business, I've been an absolute geek about how we can do better in our work. And in the last episode, we spoke about the legend, the rock star of psychotherapy, Milton H. Erickson, and his revolutionary ideas. If you missed that, then you're welcome to skip back an episode. In this episode, I wanted to see if we could possibly make a good assessment of how it might be to give Milton a job, to employ him on our team and watch him work live with our young people. Now, we can't do that because in reality, Milton died in 1980, but we can dream. I'm trained in clinical hypnosis and I love the idea of using hypnotic language in day-to-day interactions. But what is it? Hypnotic language is a type of communication that is designed to bypass the conscious mind and affect the subconscious mind. It's often indirect, it's suggestive, and it can be used to create a state of heightened suggestibility. Now, you may or may not have paid your 50,000 pennies to purchase my course, but either way, you'll find my training to be priceless for your team. That is a hypnotic language. By stealing the conscious attention with the use of pennies, I was able to access the subconscious with the final part of my statement. If you missed it, rewind. So the subconscious mind is responsible for storing our memories, beliefs, habits. It's also the source of our creativity and intuition. So when we use hypnotic language, we're tapping into that power to help us achieve our goals and make positive change in our lives and the lives of others. Let's look at some of the key characteristics. First of all, it tends to be very indirect, meaning that it does not come right out and say what it means. This is because the conscious mind is often resistant to change, and so we need to find ways to bypass that barrier. It often uses suggestion, implies or suggests something rather than stating it outright. Again, the subconscious mind is open to suggestion, and we can use this to our advantage. Hypnotic language is often spoken slowly and rhythmically. And this is because this can help to induce a state of relaxation and suggestibility. It uses vivid imagery because hypnotic language is often used to create vivid pictures. And this is because the subconscious mind is more likely to be receptive to suggestions that are presented in a visual way. Okay, let's talk about our new team member. His name is Milton H. Erickson, and we can do a shift together. After the last episode, we hopefully find it a lot easier to see and observe how he works. So hopefully you'll very soon realize in working with him that nothing he says, no matter how flippant, is ever by accident. Every word has a purpose. Every part of his tone, pace, and language is subtly put together with intent and purpose. No emotion he displays on the outside is meaningless, and he is always communicating, even when he is silent. He would use hypnotic language, and yet so skillfully that to the untrained ear, it's perfectly natural. So, you know, imagine him dealing with someone who's very disruptive in a group. You'd hear him say something like, you know, I notice you're having a hard time staying focused, maybe you could take a few minutes to relax, clear your mind before we start the activity. This is kind of indirect language to make suggestion rather than giving direct orders, like, you know, please calm down, sit still. These are resistive statements. You know, remember, we all resist direct orders or commands, whilst Erickson is managing to make a subtle suggestion that a young person can apply without hurting his or her pride, or they could refuse the suggestion. Either way, there's no direct challenge there. Who knows, maybe later on he encounters a young person who's expressing anger, and they might be struggling to control it, and maybe they need some help and ask Erickson, how do I control my anger? I get so crazy. I just blow up. Erickson would probably use metaphor rather than direct advice. And he would also use tone and pace. So, for example, he'd probably say something like, you know, when you're feeling angry, it can often feel like a big red balloon inside. The more angry you get, the bigger the balloon gets. And the bigger the balloon gets, the harder it is to control. But you have the power, if you want, to let the air out. You can take a few deep breaths and imagine the balloon shrinking down. And you can feel yourself becoming calmer and more relaxed. And you can blow out all of that anger and aggression. And you can control your balloon. And at certain times, you might notice Erickson skillfully using his tone and his pacing to create a sense of rapport and trust. He's speaking slowly and rhythmically in high-tension situations. No, this is what we now call leading and pacing. It's hard to stay on top note angry when the person you're talking to is slowing the pace and speaking more calmly. He'd probably use metaphors and analogies at every opportunity to make his ideas more relatable and memorable. And he would do this on a personal level. In the past, I myself have used computer game analogies, football or sports analogies that the young person understands. Gamers understand levels. Football fans understand yellow cards and penalties. Storytelling would also be a highlight of his work to illustrate his points and create a sense of connection. He might tell a story about a young person who overcame challenges to achieve their dreams. As I spoke about earlier, the power of stories is incredible, and I encourage our students to collect at least one or two inspirational stories to pull out of the back pocket at the appropriate time. Looking at some of the language that young people will relate to, and I'll put some of these on the accompanying PDF, they can relate to sections of their life. You're a skilled athlete, you are focused, you are determined, you've been in that zone. And you can do this in every walk of life. You can do the same thing in your school classroom. Just like a skilled athlete who trains hard to reach their full potential, you can train your mind and your body to achieve similar things. If you've got someone interested in computer games, you can talk about game developers, you know, creating this virtual world, and you've got the power to design and control your own virtual world. And the characters in your environment, you can create a world that's full of challenges and excitement and adventure. Remember the feeling of a satisfaction when you solved a difficult puzzle or completed a challenging level in a game? Well, that feeling of accomplishment fuels your motivation to carry on and achieve more. And you can do that. So as you can see, I'm using the young person's personal interest because they relate to that. Milton Erickson can create a more relatable and engaging experience. And this can help the young person to feel more receptive to the hypnotic suggestions and make positive change in their lives. Working with Milton on a shift would be quite an experience. A sense of calm would probably pervade, and there would be lessons to learn if we choose to see them. So let's face it, we are Milton. But surely we can take some of these general principles. I'm going to quickly run through these because I covered them in the last episode. But we can use hypnotic language to encourage young people to talk to themselves in a more positive and supportive way. And we can say things like, you're doing a great job, you're capable of anything, set your mind to it. In my parenting classes, I used to urge parents to catch their children doing good things or doing nothing sometimes, to notice and give them attention. Hey, you've been great today. It's fantastic that you're so calm. I love the fact that you're so calm today. Notice and give them that attention. We could also use it to boost self-esteem. We can use hypnotic language. For example, you know, we talk about their strengths and accomplishments, and we can remind them of their own inherent worth by being overtly enthusiastic about their achievements. We can use hypnotic language to promote relaxation. For example, calming imagery, soothing language. I used to do chill out nights all over the place with young people, and they were so well received. These can become an occasional feature in your unit. They're so easy to set up, you know, some calm music, a relaxing space, some projection. Some children grow up on high alert constantly, finding this relaxing experience. They really, really took to it so well. Self-awareness. He could use his language to help young people become aware of their thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. This is so helpful in identifying and addressing problems. I often find youth workers I've worked with are just brilliant at helping young people kind of label emotions and observe them rather than being caught up in them. You know, examples, I've seen youth workers praising a young person for their good behavior. The good behavior, praise from a manager or a person that wasn't even on shift yesterday, or a key worker. Hey, I heard you had a great day yesterday. Really sounds fantastic. You know, it's great that you were so calm yesterday. Maybe when you're trying to calm a young person, bringing the tone down, leading, pacing the conversation, and reflecting their own words. So those are just a few considerations for using Erickson's language effectively. I don't need to say this, but of course, we're respectful and mindful of young people's feelings. We've got to be genuine and sincere in what we do. And we've got to use language that's appropriate for the young person's age or development. And of course, we need to be patient and persistent. Hypnotic language can be a powerful way to subtly help young people. And by using it carefully and respectfully, we can create a positive impact on their lives. I don't think any of us would claim to be Milton H. Erickson or to be in a position to manipulate behavior like some kind of stage magician. We're not trying to manipulate anyone. I think what we're really trying to do is to provide an atmosphere that's conducive with the young person achieving what they want. A young person that's highly strung is going to struggle to calm himself in an atmosphere of confrontation. A young person who's acting out their behavior because they don't have good coping mechanisms are going to find it easier to save face with suggestive language. Now, I write these podcasts for my own selfish reasons. In a way, the whole process allows me to experiment and clarify my own thoughts. And what I'm taking away from this episode personally is that you are already the expert in the room. I'm in no position to teach you as professionals, but I also know that masters like Milton H. Erickson provide a broad working framework for us that we can steal from. And doing it and practicing it can make us a little bit more aware of how our working day subtly changes as we change. Thanks for being there, and I hope you found this episode interesting. I'll pull together a basic crib sheet that you can grab and share to help us all to remember the main points of our conversation today. Okay, that's it for this week. And as you know, I'm currently producing these episodes on the first and third Monday of each month for the time being. Many tens of thousands of listeners just like you have been listening in. Some have subscribed, some haven't. But you can do that to ensure that you never miss a little snippet of wisdom. Like you, there are residential care professionals who choose to improve their clients' lives by the tiniest of margins. My name's Michael Dawson. This has been the Action Factory podcast, where we talk to the experts in residential youth work. And that, of course, is you. You are the expert. Thank you for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm going to be back in a couple of weeks. Speak soon.